Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome back, gamers, to Budget Arcade, your number one free-to-play video game review podcast. In our normal weeks, we review a free-to-play game. Myself, your boy Scott, and your boy Jeff. We all get together and we review mostly pretty terrible games. However, we've had some gems the past couple weeks. If you missed out on last week's episode, we reviewed Pokemon Unite, a very good game. Make sure you listen to that episode. But here in these off weeks, we typically, and it's been just me solo for the past couple months, but we talk about what's going on in video games, what's going on in video game, the industry, what I'm playing, what's coming soon to your favorite platforms. And so we'll dive into some news. You'll hear what terrible games I've been playing. That's kind of a joke, but it's not, because I've been playing some pretty terrible stuff lately. And then to wrap up the show, we'll give a preview of what's coming for the month of September in video games. So, here this month, news has been kind of dull lately. We haven't had a lot of huge news drop. Last month we had the Activision Blizzard scandal, and that pretty much rocked the video game world for a little bit, but it seems like that's kind of fading out, much like news does. The cycle never stops churning, so that's kind of taking the back seat, and the issues are still the same, but they're not in the spotlight as much right now. So the Gamescom 2021 awards were announced, and they were presented during the annual show, and we'll just run through some of the winners here. And best action adventure game went to Elden Ring. The best action game went to Far Cry 6. And these are for games that are coming soon. Best family game went to Super Dungeon Maker. I don't know anything about that one. Best indie game went to Lost in Random. That's published by EA and developed by Zoink Games. Best RPG, Elden Ring took that as well. Best simulation went to Park Beyond, which is published by Bandai Namco. Best sports game, here's a surprise, Riders Republic. I don't know anything about that one, but it's published by Ubisoft. Best strategy game went to Age of Empires 4. Put out by Microsoft. And the best multiplayer game went to Halo Infinite. Halo Infinite's been in the news off and on here recently, and people don't know what to think. They're a little bit kind of wait and see for the newest Halo game that comes out here in the winter. But I can tell you the overall impression is that it's not going to be great. These publications that put out these awards, like Gamescom, they're trying to throw support behind it, and it's going to sell like hotcakes. But is it going to be a good game? We don't really know. Best ongoing game went to Apex Legends. People still play Apex. Let's see. Best Xbox game went to Halo Infinite. The best Switch game went to Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Best PlayStation game went to Elden Ring. That's a bit of a surprise. Best announcement at the show went to Saints Row. And that also took the best trailer. And then Best of Gamescom went to Elden Ring. And a little bit of a shock, the best games lineup went to Bandai Namco. Bandai Namco has been around a long time, so that's not a surprise. Like, low key, not a surprise. But you think of, hey, going into 2022, what publisher has got the best games lineup? It's not Bandai Namco, that's for sure. Some other news. So Netflix announced a couple weeks ago that they were going to get into the video game industry. And they didn't really announce anything, concrete, just that they were going to dive into the video game industry. Much like Amazon has a games faction. Well, Netflix, being the leading video streamer in the world right now, they're always looking to make money, much like Disney. Disney's always looking to make money. Netflix is always looking to make money as well, and they've got a lot of arms and across a lot of different mediums, and so they're currently testing, as according to GamesIndustry.biz. Some video game stuff to Netflix subscribers in Poland, and they're testing two games, Stranger Things 1984 and Stranger Things 3. And so if you are using an Android device for your Netflix viewing, you'll find links if you're in Poland. Hey, if we got any Poland listeners, hit us up. Poland listeners, Polish listeners, and Polish listeners in Poland. How about that? you'll be able to access these two games inside the app, which will then take you to the Google Play Store, where you can install the game for no additional cost. Netflix has announced that their games in the platform will not have ads. There's no in-app purchases, and the games will be included with your paid subscription. But they've reiterated that this is a very early, you know, testing period for them. And, you know, I don't know what... I haven't done any research to like, Netflix purchasing up small developers, you know, mobile game developers, to see, you know, where their ideas lie, or, you know, what route they're going to take for what games they're going to develop and publish. But the, you know, Netflix did hire a former Facebook and Electronic Arts executive, a guy by the name of Mike Veru. You know, and they put him as their VP of game development. And then, you know, they held a like a quarterly earnings report where they discussed, you know, what their plan would be for a game model, video game model, and how that'll impact their revenue streams. And they've said from the get-go that it is going to be ad-free, and that they're going to be focusing on mobile games, you know, at the start. So people on the internet have speculated that this game division from Netflix will launch something that's Stadia-like, you know, where it'll offer streaming video games eventually. But hopefully it's better than Stadia. You know, Google has not done well in the marketing of their game platform, their streaming game platform. And so if Netflix can carve out a portion of their subscribers that enjoy video games, which is a ton of people, and they can gather up new subscribers that are solely interested in playing some of these video games that they're developing and publishing, it seems like it would be a win-win. But much like everything else, it's a dip the toes in the water and see how cold it is. You know, if the water's warm enough, you can, you know, jump in. But if the water's too cold, you're not going to dive in head first. So it's an interesting foray into the video game industry, and we'll just have to wait and see what lies ahead with Netflix and video games. Let's see, what else? What else can we talk about? There's an interesting little one, and a little bit of news that involves video games, and I feel like this headline for this article that I've just read should be on the on our boy Elliot's podcast, Tessa and Elliot Argue. You can find that podcast wherever you get podcasts from. But the article is, South Korea plans to abolish gaming curfew. And the article goes on to say that there was a law that that blocked underage video gamers from accessing online games late at night. So it's weird, is because South Korea is much more progressive. I thought they were much more progressive than that. But the South Korean government, I guess, said, "Hey, it's almost 2022. We gotta get with the times," and they abolished that law. And apparently, the law was put into practice in 2011, And according to this article, to, quote, prevent excessive playtime and gaming addiction, and to also ban players age 16 or under from playing online PC games between midnight and 6 a.m. And then they, South Korea also levied fine amounts that any game company that did not comply with the curfew would be fined up to essentially $8,500 in U.S. currency. I don't know what the currency is in South Korea, but it's the article states it would be 10 million of South Korea's currency, which equates to $8,500 here in the U.S., or prison sentences for up to 2 years. That's bleeping crazy. I don't know if Scott would venture this far into the episode before it's published to bleep it out if I said it, but that's crazy. Can you imagine living in a country? And I know they exist. I know there's, you know, we got listeners in countries where these practices are common, but to be banned from playing video games between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. That's crazy. That's crazy to me, and it's crazy that we live in a world where that is still viewed as a practice. Get better, world. Just get better. But I'm glad that South Korea's finally turned the corner in this realm and have decided to abolish that law. But in the article goes on to say that in the absence of the curfew, South Koreans will the country of South Korea will rely on the current choice permit, quote unquote, system, and it was introduced a year after the law was enacted, and it allows players to request a permit per game and designate hours for playing these titles with the agreement of their parents. So, you're a 15-year-old kid, and you want to play whatever PC game you want to play online. And you got to get your parents' permission, sign a waiver saying that you can play up to 2 a.m. But after 2 a.m., you best get off, because South Korea's government will come for you. It's crazy. This is a crazy article, and I feel like we just had a crossover with Tessa Ellen Argue. So yeah, that's weird. So one interesting bit of news that I saw amongst many video game news platforms was that the Overwatch character McCree is going to be renamed after the dismissal of the guy he was named after from the company. I've never played Overwatch. I don't have any interest playing Overwatch. I know a lot of people played it, and a lot of people still play it. So this one's for you. But I guess Overwatch is, the company is renaming the character of McCree, who is, the article describes him as a gunslinger. But they're changing it because the guy he's named after worked for Blizzard, and you know, that whole thing. So they are quoted as saying, "We built the Overwatch universe around the idea that inclusivity, equity, and hope are the building blocks of a better future. They are central to the game and to the Overwatch team. As we continue to discuss how we best live up to our values and to demonstrate our commitment to creating a game world that reflects them, we believe it's necessary to change the name of the hero currently known as McCree to something that better represents what Overwatch stands for." And the character was named after Jesse McCree, who is the lead level designer at Blizzard. And he was subsequently dismissed from the company after the allegation and accusations that came out against Activision and Blizzard, you know, late in the summer. I mean, good. That's fine. That's cool. Good. I don't know necessarily why it deserves news. Just change his name and be done with it. All this does is bring attention back to, which could serve a purpose, but it brings this whole this whole thing back into the limelight, but I think for the wrong reasons. You know, if the Overwatch development team had just changed the character's name, left everything else about the character the same, and just happened to change his name, people would have picked up on it and they would ask questions. And
hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They would have speculated. But I don't think, and it could just be because, you know, the video game news cycle right now is very slow. So we're getting articles and attention like this to a character that, you know, was named after a dude who turned out to be not so great. But, you know, I think it's time that we move on from, you know, this culture of, oh, hey, we have to distance ourselves from everything. I don't know if anybody would have, you know, really drawn correlation behind this guy Jesse McCree and this character McCree without there being a lot of spotlight to it. I don't disagree with changing the name. I disagree with the attention that was made to it instead of continuing to push the envelope with attention to the actual things that matter, which is proper representation in the video game industry. It's, you know, equity and inclusivity, like the statement said. I just find it tiresome to talk about a character in a video game being renamed because he also shared a name with a lead designer who, you know, who was dismissed from the company because he wasn't a good dude. You know, that's spotlight for the wrong reasons. Let's spotlight what Blizzard is doing after the fact. Not this. What they're doing internally as a company to make sure that their employees are taken care of, that their employees are treated equally, that their employees have a voice. Let's spotlight that. Let's talk about that. I want to read stuff about that. I want to read stuff about this dumbass character McCree and you know, him having a new name. Who cares? I don't even know what his new name is going to be or what it is, because I don't care. I do care about how these people are represented that are making these games. So that's a new one. Cloud gaming forecasted to generate $6.5 billion in 2024. So this article from VG247 states that an estimated 60.7 million paid users utilized a cloud video game service. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's expected that by 2024, 60.7 million users will utilize cloud gaming services. So, you know, Game Pass users, PlayStation Now users, Stadia users, if Netflix gets their game, you know, system off the ground, whatever Amazon's gaming, cloud-based gaming platform is. That's interesting, and it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, Netflix dipping their toes in to the video game cloud streaming realm, is because if it's going to bring that much money, $6.5 billion is a lot of money. So if Netflix can get a little bit of that, even, you know, 5% of that money, I would imagine that they would take it. And I'm not a math dude, so I'm not gonna do that math in my head. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do it here on the old computer. So 5% of $6.5 billion is $325 million. Would Netflix take that revenue? More than likely. It just depends on how much they put in. and with Netflix revenue and their capital money, I would think that they could probably put a lot of money into a cloud video game cloud streaming service. So just an interesting tidbit for what could be on the horizon and where video game is where the industry may be moving to. I don't think it's a secret. I think Microsoft has made it very well known that Game Pass is their move. And, you know, Sony and the PlayStation platform are investing a lot more into the PS Now subscription service. So I think it's just a matter of time before everything moves to a cloud-based streaming platform. And you can hear my thoughts and our guy Jeff's thoughts on it. We did an episode a while back, strictly about cloud-based streaming. So make sure you tune into that episode. That might be it for news. News has been kind of slow, and hopefully I didn't bore you guys too much. So let's talk about what I've been playing. And it's nothing really good. So I'm a PS Now subscriber, and recently I downloaded the video game Knack, which was a PS3 game. It was a PS4 game. I think it was a PS4 launch title. And I'll be honest, it's a decent platformer. You know, it's got decent mechanics where you play as an ancient invention, or an invention by a guy who invented a creature that's formed out of relics from a past civilization, and you have the ability to grow as large as buildings or get as small as air duct vents using these relics, and the entire game is that you're trying to find the civilization. This lost civilization, but there's an evil corporate tycoon type guy that is also looking for this ancient civilization because he wants to harness the power of this civilization. And the gameplay's fine. The gameplay's decent. It's challenging enough without being overly challenging. The story's garbage, but it didn't get good reviews when it came out. It got pretty trash reviews. And, you know, as a PS4 launch title, which it was released in November of 2013, it's I can see why. The graphics for a 2013, so it wasn't a launch title for the PlayStation. If it came out in 2013, when did the PlayStation come out? Oh, it did. Yeah, it was a launch title. So PS4 came out in November 2013, and Knack was a launch title. So I can see why it got poo-pooed. It's because gamers may have been expecting more. But going back and playing it now, almost 10 years later, the graphics, they still stand up. It doesn't look like I'm playing a late PS3 title. That's what I've been playing. I finished the game and the game was fine. I'm also a Gamefly subscriber. And so I got the game Evergate. I got it for the PS5 and it was released in, July 2nd of 2021. And it's I don't even know what you would classify it as, but you play as a kind of a lost soul, and you're trying to make your way back to Earth. And Google classifies it as a 2D puzzle platformer, where you control your environment and you're trying to get back to Earth, and you have different levels, and you have to collect orbs and different things in each level. It's challenging. The game's challenging. You know, reviews are kind of lukewarm. I mean, the story, there's not really a story to it. The music is pretty fantastic in the game. It is developed by Stone Lantern Games and P-Cube, and published by P-Cube. But I'm playing on the PS5, but it also launched, I think, on the PS4 and the Nintendo Switch and the Xbox One. So it's available on your consoles. What else am I playing? What else have I played? Oh, Hades. I got Hades on the PS5. I haven't really dived in. I just loaded it up on the console. And I'm excited to play that one. That's a top-down platformer. But, Clay, you know, Google classified it as a roguelike dungeon crawler. It is developed by Supergiant Games, and it garnered a lot of Game of the Year award consideration late in 2020, and I'm excited to see why. Everybody I've read and I've talked to about it has raved about the game. I think me and Jeff talked about it briefly. I don't know if he's played it, but you can go back to our Game of the Year 2020 episode and get our thoughts on, you know, whether or not Hades, or get his thoughts on whether or not Hades is deserving. But I'm excited to try it out. Right now we're kind of in a video game lull, so to speak, and you know, September is going to get us back into, oh man, there's some good games coming out, new games. But, you know, here in the late summer, we're just playing what we can and keeping ourselves busy. So that's what I'm playing right now. If you want to, you know, drop the show a line and tell us what you've been playing, that'd be cool too. So to wrap things up here, let's talk about what's coming in the month of September. We have Sonic Colors Ultimate coming to the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, the Switch, and the PC on September 7th. We have Blood Rain Betrayal, Fresh Bites, coming to the PS5, the Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and the PC on September 9th. We have Life is Strange, True Colors, on the PS5, Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, Stadia, and PC on September 10th. One of the more anticipated video games of the year, NBA 2K22, coming to the PS5, the Series XS, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and the PC on September 10th. We have Deathloop, which is a console PS5 exclusive, and also getting released on the PC on September 14th. I've heard good things about it, so I'm excited to dive into that one. Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom is coming to the Switch. That's an exclusive on September 17th. If you played the first Ni No Kuni, a very Pokemon atmosphere to that. So I'm excited to read some reviews on Ni No Kuni 2 and see if it's much of the same. Another highly anticipated PlayStation exclusive that got a lot of attention back late last year when a lot of PS5 titles were being announced is Kena: Bridge of Spirits on the PS4 and the PS5. But it, you know, it's obviously built for the PS5 and also coming to the PC. Sony has, you know, a weird crossover deal with PC for a lot of their titles. But that's coming on September 21st. Let's see. Pokemon Unite, which we just, this most recent episode where we reviewed it on the Switch. It is coming to iOS and Android on September 22nd. I will be downloading it. I will be playing it. It's a fun, super fun game, and I'm interested to see how it plays on the phone or the mobile device. Death Stranding is getting a director's cut, which is exclusive to the PS5 on September 24th. Darksiders 3 is coming to the Switch on September 30th. And then probably the most anticipated game of the year, Hot Wheels Unleashed, coming to the PS5, Xbox Series XS, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and the PC on September 30th. So yeah, that is, you know, starts our anticipation for the fall video game season, with some good titles. The PS5's got some highly anticipated titles coming to it, so I'm interested to dive into those. If you want to tell us what you've been playing, you can find us on all of the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Budget Arcade, TikTok, Budget Arcade Review. I don't know what the TikTok is. Just search Budget Arcade. You'll find it. We have a Discord. We have a community of gamers who support the show, and we talk all things in the Discord. So if you're interested in doing that, you can find it in the show notes, the link to the Discord in the show notes. And if you want to be a paid supporter of the podcast, and we very much appreciate anybody who chooses to donate some money to the podcast. It keeps us going, I'd say. It keeps us coming back and providing you what we think is decent content. But you can do so. We have a Patreon. Patreon.com/budgetarcade. And you gain exclusive access to our Patreon channel and our Discord, where you get kind of some behind the scenes access to the show and to myself and Scott and Jeff and some others that have contributed to the show. Elliot's in there too. So if you feel like doing that, we appreciate it as always. Our music is brought to you by Stimage. You can find his music at metroidmetal.com. If you want to look me up on Twitter, my at is @IHeardYouLiked. I heard you liked, where I talk all things unfiltered. And so if you want to hit me up there, you can follow me. I'll throw you a follow. I don't care. Next week we are reviewing Contra Returns on mobile. So download that game, play along, leave us some commentary in the Discord, and we'll be sure to feature your commentary on the show. We'll catch you next week, and game on.
Podcast Network.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.